not just personally and not just in his family, but nationally, there was troubles. And if it affects the house of God, and trouble overcomes the house of God and families and the house and the church, and then it will affect the nation. Because only righteousness exalts a nation. He believes that. So in the midst of the darkness, God still has to have a light shining. And you're that light. And now we're living in such an antichrist world that if you declare Jesus, you will be attacked. You will be frowned upon. You will be looked down upon. You can mention Allah and you can mention Buddha and you can mention all the other false gods. And they don't stir people as much. But you mention that name Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, and something is stirred in a man's soul, especially an unsaved soul, that provokes them to blaspheme, provokes them to swear, provokes them to say things that usually they don't even understand what they're saying. But I'm telling you now, God is going to raise a standard in this day like never before. And the standard is not the person that's doing everything right. The standard is just going to be the plain Jane, the plain Bob, you and me, lifting up his name, regardless of the circumstances and situations, regardless of the darkness that's around us, lifting up the name of this man, this person, this God called Jesus Christ. Standing and doing all to stand standing there for. Because there's going to be floods and waves against the church. For the enemy comes like a flood. Floods of accusations. Floods of words. Pulling down the church. But there's one thing the world can't do. No matter how hard they try, they can't do it. They can't pull down Jesus. Because no matter where, he stands in heaven. He's in heaven. They can help pull down us. But no matter where it's at, there's always going to be a church. Do you believe that? So we're going to talk about Gideon this morning. And after Gideon, we'll take up our tithes and offerings. Turn with me. No. To part of my message this morning is you mighty man of valor. You mighty man of valor. Judges 6, 1 to 6. I want to give you some background of Gideon. Gideon was a man from the tribe of Manasseh. He, by all accounts, was a farmer. Israel was under persecution and impoverished. And in fact, the Bible calls it, and they were made very low. Oppression was over the whole nation. There was a lack in the nation. The Midianites and the Amalekites would come, and it says they would come like locusts, innumerable, with their cattle and their camels, too many to measure. And they would rape the land. They would steal. They would destroy. They would take everything that was sown and reap it for themselves. So there was great fear in Israel. There was great fear in the nation. There was great fear in households. And they actually built for themselves caves and dens and strongholds. They built them. The Israelites built them to hide from this oppression and hide from this fear and get away from these people that were constantly trying to take from them all the time. The sad part about it, they weren't living how God intended them to live. Because fear can drive you into a place of darkness. Fear can cause you to live the way you shouldn't live. Fear can make you impoverished in soul and spirit. And fear is contagious. Just like faith is contagious. Fear can be contagious. So they were living in fear. Let's read from verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. 7 years. They were in a season of 7 years. God's hand came off them because they started worshipping the Baals and they started worshipping Ashereths and they started having other gods before the real true God. And so God's hand lifted and all of a sudden he let them let the Midianites and the Amalekites have their way. And so they were under bondage. They were under fear. They were impoverished. They were broken. They had a broken spirit. It says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made themselves the dens, the caves and strongholds, which are in the mountains. And that's exactly what fear will do. It will drive you into a dark place. It will drive you to become isolated. It will drive you to make you feel that you're alone. That's what fear does. So they built for themselves this place where they shouldn't have been dwelling. They had no fight left in them. They were running. These people would come every year and say, oh, well, you've just started your crop. Let it grow. Then they'd come and just take the lot. Steal from them. Destroy their livelihood. Kill their animals. Slaughter them and eat them. My Bible says the devil comes to what? Kill, steal, and? That's it. And fear is one of his greatest weapons. Then he says this, so it was when Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and they'd destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza. Leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. I'll give you a little footnote. Midian is the sixth son of Abraham. From his second wife, Keturah. She had four sons to Abram. After Sarah died, he remarried a woman called Keturah. She was an African woman. Keturah, she had four sons to him and two daughters. The fourth son was Midian. Nomadic people. His name means devourer. His name means troublemaker. And all he wants to do, even though he's aligned, all he wants to do is bring trouble into the house of God. So this Midian would rape the nation of Israel. And because of his nature, he devours anything that's before him. Fear has an appetite. It wants to devour your seed. It wants to devour your seeds of faith. It wants to affect your house. It wants to affect your marriage. It wants to affect your family. It wants to affect your children. Because once fear gets a foothold in, it is contagious. But my Bible says in Timothy, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a soundness of mind. The problem with getting the soundness of mind is I will have to face my trouble. Faith is not a lack of fear. Faith is overcoming your fears and standing and taking ground. Paul said this in the New Testament. He says, I have fears within and fears without. Fears are there. You're built with an emotion called fear. If you jumped in the front of a car when it's coming down the road, you jump out of the way real quick. But what we can't allow is that fear to dominate me and devour what the seed is within me and the faith that I'm trying to walk in that God wants to bless me in and my house. They would encamp against and destroy the produce of the earth of Gaza, leaving no substance. They would come up with the livestock and the tents, coming as numerous as locusts. A locust eats everything. And when it's finished eating everything, it moves on. It will strip everything. Both they and their camels are without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. This thing called fear has one ambition. To dominate, rule over your life and your faith. Because if I'm living in fear, I can't operate in what? Faith. So therefore, fear tries to dictate and dominate to me how I think, how I act. It wants to isolate me to such a point that I don't connect and get to a place where I'm blaming God for every circumstance and situation I'm in. But why God? Why did you allow that to happen, God? God, what's all this about? And all of a sudden, I'm retreating and there's no fight left in me and I just let things happen because I think, oh, well, who can stop it? But Ephesians 5 tells me doing all to stand what? Stand therefore. Doing all to stand. In other words, stop your fleeing and do a stand. Stand against your fears. Stand against what's trying to come against your house and your home. And stand allowing fear to grow in your heart through the word and then overcoming your fears and getting through your fears by the power and the presence of your Lord. And he wants to do that for every house. Fear is always the cause for you and I to draw back and live a life in a dark place. Its aim is to cause you to withdraw and become isolated, separated, robbing you of hope and faith. The enemies of the Midianites and Amalekites would bring their cattle and camels and rob them of their seed faith. So when I'm starting to believe God for something and it's not happening because sometimes I'm moved by my sight and sometimes I'm moved by what I hear and not by the word of the Lord, I stop and then question that step of faith. But what God wants me to do is stand in my fight. He never said, take a step back and have a breather. He never said that. These Midianites and Amalekites were men of war. Israel had already been conquered. Most of their men of war were already dead. Gideon was no different to these men. Gideon is found in a wine press, hiding. His wine press was his cave. He's hiding, fearful, oppressed, no fight, broken, hoping no one was going to lift the lid of the wine press to find him. He had a problem in his house. Midian had a serious problem in his house. So the angel of the Lord comes to Midian. The angel of the Lord comes to Midian. He's sitting under a terebinth tree, which is an Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, whatever that word says, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now, come on. Just think of what I've said. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." He's hiding in his winepress in a cave. He's fearful. That's why he's hiding. He's oppressed. He's got all this weight of not just his household, but the nation is being stripped bare, and he's worried sick someone's going to knock on his door and take what he's got. Then all of a sudden, this angel, the angel of the Lord, Jesus, says, "Hey, Gideon, you mighty man of valor." Because God calls those things that are not as though they are. He wasn't yet the mighty man of valor, but God wasn't speaking about all his problems. He was speaking to his future. So you need to remind yourself of what God has said about you to build up your faith. So when fear comes, when trouble comes, when tribulation comes, what is going to come out of my mouth? Faith or fear? God can work with faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to what? God can work with your faith. If you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain, be there removed, and it will be removed. He needs people of faith. He needs people to operate in faith. Faith. I want to just quickly tell you what faith is. Faith is not what you want. It's what he has said. You can have faith in what he has said to you. You shouldn't have faith in your faith and what you want. Amen? The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "You mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord." Now, this is what fear does. Listen to his argument. "Oh, my Lord, if." See, fear's always got an if. "If the Lord is with us." That's what fear's done. Straight away, it's robbed him of the presence of the Lord. "If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Consumed with the problem. That's what fear makes you do. You get consumed with the problem instead of being consumed with your God. "And where are all his miracles?" Oh, well, where are they all? You know, I heard stories from my dad, stories from the people in the wilderness that you did miracles. Where are all the miracles today? Where are they? If there's a God, where are they all? That's what faith does. Fear does. Makes you question God. "Where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of the Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken." Oh, now God doesn't love me. That's what fear says. God doesn't love me. Where is God in all this? Where is God in all my trouble? Where is God in all what's happening to me? Where is God? I want to give you a footnote. God is not lost. He's right next to you. He's not lost. I got lost. Fear led me to a cave where fear should cause me, where faith should cause me to stand. God's not lost. He knows exactly where you are. He knew where Gideon was. The angel of the Lord went straight to his wine press. He knew where his little hiding place was. He knows exactly where you are. What he wants his people to do is step up and stand regardless of what I'm facing. Amen. And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours." I have to laugh, sorry. "Go in this might." I said, when I'm reading, I'm saying, "Lord, what are you talking about? Gideon in this might?" All he's done is, the last verse is whinge and complain where you are. Now you're saying, "Go in this might." What might? "And you shall save Israel from the Midianites, the devourer. Have I not sent you?" There's the might. There's your confidence. There's your strength. There's your release. "Have I not sent you? Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest." That's what fear does. Straight away, "I can't do. I'm hopeless. No one, I can't work it all out. Woe is me. I'm the least of my clan and Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely," here's the strength again, "surely I will be with you. I have sent you. I will be with you. And you shall defeat Midian." Now listen to the promise that God said. "You shall defeat Midian as one man." When Gideon faced the Amalekites and the Midianites, he was facing an army of 135,000 men of war. God delivered Israel by 300, a ratio of 1 to 450. And they were farmers. They didn't have swords. In fact, the Lord delivered through Gideon by a music team, because all they had was a trumpet. They never had a sword. They had 300 trumpets. I've got a good friend called Tom Locker, and when he plays the trumpet, he's got to wet his lips. Can you imagine them three men? I bet they wet their lips a lot. 135,000 men with swords and spears and chariots, and there's 300 blokes, and all they've got is a trumpet, a vase, and a candle. But you're going to defeat them as one man. In other words, this is what God said. This is what faith does for a man. He lifts your eyes above the problem, and God covers you to a point where you don't see the extent of the problem. So you can battle. and you can have victory. And so when did he fight him? In the dark. He couldn't see the size of it. Your God will cover you. Your God will make sure that he has everything else covered and you fight him as just one man. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Have I not sent you? And he said, this is what the strength it is. Number one, I have sent you. Number two, I am the God who chose you. Did God choose you? If you're a Christian here this morning, did God choose you? You didn't choose God. You know, we have these little Christianese sayings. When I found the Lord. No, you didn't find him. He was never lost. No, he found you. Everything's to his glory. Here's another strength. I'm the God of your miracles. He's the God of your miracles. When Gideon was whinging to the Lord saying, oh, didn't you do all this for my fathers in the wilderness? Yes, he did. God of miracles. In your desert, he's the God of your miracle. When you're thirsty and dry, he's the God of your miracle. I'm the God who will lead you through your desert. I'm the God who's your provider. I'm the God who will cause you to cross over. I'm the God who will give you the strength to drive out your enemies. But here's the condition. If you obey my voice. If you obey my voice. Fear will make you small, think small and cause you to believe that you're unable to do it. And to live a life that God never intended for you ever. Or your house. And when I go through a season like Gideon, and we all do go through seasons like Gideon, we too have to activate faith instead of retreating in fear. We have to begin to worship instead of worrying. We have to stand to fight instead of fleeing. Don't lose your fight. Stand. Stand in faith and see your God bring the breakthrough. All he needs for you is to stand. Amen? Stand. Fear will cause you to drain strength, but your God will cause you to stand in faith. Doing all to stand, therefore. Walking by faith is not the absence of fear, but rather facing our fears, overcoming them by trusting in our God. Trusting in our God. God needs a people of faith who will trust him regardless of what fear they face. Let's go back to the battle. 22,000 men. Gideon called. 22,000 men went out to the battle. God said to Gideon, this is chapter 7. God said to Gideon, these people are too many. If I let them all fight, they're going to take glory for themselves. Therefore, say to them, those who are fearful and afraid, you can go home. In fact, it was 30,000, 32,000. 22,000 of them went home. Two-thirds of this army immediately went home. Of the 10,000, God said, there's too many. Far too many. Therefore, make them drink. And those who drink and lap like dogs, right? And those who drink with knee bent and put their hand and lap the water, these are the ones that you'll separate. You ever thought why God did that? Because if you're lying down lapping like a dog, you're facing your water. You can't see anything else. You're distracted. But those who knelt and lifted the water up to them and drank like this, they could see their circumstance. 300. 300 men full of faith. Them 300 still went to battle. Now, come on. I don't know about you, but if I was one of them 300, I'd be thinking, I've got to kill 450 blokes. That's just for me to survive. Right? And all I've got is a trumpet. How am I going to use this trumpet? to kill 450 blokes. Oh, that's right, I've got a candle. I could set them alight. And I could hit them over the head with my vase. I could do that. But they've got spears, they've got swords, they've got chariots. Then the Lord said to Gideon, go down to the camp, for you will hear of a dream. And take your servant, if you're fearful, he said, if you're fearful, take your servant Purah. The next verse it says, so Gideon and Purah went down to the camp. That's telling me he's still in fear. But he's operating in faith. So as he's exercising his faith, the fear gets less and less and less, and he's being obedient to the voice. Because you see, you've got to exercise faith. So he's exercising his faith. Even though he's still dealing with fears, he's now operating by faith. And as he operates by faith more and more, the fear gets less and less. Because trust is starting to be built in the name of the Lord. Can I have an amen? Trust is starting to be built in the name of the Lord. So he goes down and hears the dream. I had a dream. A barley loaf rolled down the hill and hit our tent and destroyed it. Then the other Midianite says, surely this is the Israelites and Gideon and his army coming and they're going to destroy us. So here's a unbelieving heathens. One gets a dream. The other one gets the interpretation of the dream. God can use anyone and anything. Hear me. He can use a donkey. All of a sudden, Gideon hears that, gets encouraged, more faith. Then he splits them up into hundreds now. 300s. And he says to them this, when you see me shout and blow the trumpet, you do likewise. The trumpet for us today is your voice. The earthen vessel that has to be broken is you. And the light within it is the Holy Ghost. So you have to declare something against the army of darkness. You've got to start speaking something. Decreeing things, blowing the trumpet of the Lord, and allow God to break this earthen vessel of yours so his light might shine through you. Amen. And then you will have the victory. The problem was, before Gideon even got there, was he had to face something that was very close to him. Before he could fix something of the kingdom, he had to fix something else. The first thing that God said to him was this. Gideon said, if you are the Lord, if you are the Lord, stay here and I will bring something. So here, the Bible says in chapter 6 that he brought cakes and a goat. Now you've got to remember, they are impoverished. They are threshing wheat in a wine press. They are hiding and barely living because it says that the Amalekites raped that nation. So when he was giving something, he gave his best. And it says, and he placed it, and the angel of the Lord pointed to this rock with his staff in his hand. He said, lay it all on the rock. So he lays it on the rock, and he puts the cakes on the rock, and he pours the brothy soup on the rock. That rock is Christ. You have to bring your sacrifice to Christ and trust him. And immediately it says this, and then fire came out of the rock. Hallelujah. Not out of the staff, out of the rock. Consumed it. And immediately Gideon built an altar. And he called it the altar of peace. And he needed to do that because Gideon had to come out of a place of peace. Everything we do should come out of a place of peace. So important is your peace. The Bible says this, that let the peace of God guard your heart and your mind. It's a guardian over you. The minute you're not operating in peace, you could actually fall into a place of fear. I've got to walk out of a place of peace with him, knowing that I belong to him, knowing he's accepted everything I've given him, knowing that he not just accepted what I've given him, that he's going to make a way for me through it all. The next altar he built, it says, put the rocks in order. Put the rocks in order. Because now God wants an ordered lifestyle. I think it's 6 verse 31 or 34, it says this. And the Lord clothed him. And the Lord clothed him with his spirit. I want you to think on that. When you and I start operating by faith, stepping out, even though there might be fear still there, operating by faith, walking by faith, believing God by faith, and offering him my best upon the altar. The next phase to do kingdom work, I need the anointing of heaven. Amen? So he built an altar. The very first challenge of his house, he said, now go and pull down the Baal and the pole of Asherah in your house. Woo! Before he did kingdom work, he had to do some homework. Now go and pull down the Baal in your house, your father's house, and the pole of Asherah in your father's house. First thing you'll ask me to do is challenge what's in my house. Now, I'm saying this, don't look for things in your house. God will show them to you in your house. I'm not a person that believes that you have to dig things up from the old to try and find something. I'm not that. I do not believe in that at all. What I believe is this, when he shows me it, he wants me to deal with it. He saw it. He had to deal with it. God told him to pull it down, so he feared his father. So he did it at nighttime. But he did it. And there can be things in my home that need pulling down. May I go a little bit deeper on this? Things like Freemasonry, witchcraft, stuff that you do know. Like in my own house, when my old man joined Freemasonry. I had to break that thing in my house. I had to deal with that idol thing. So I had to break things that he showed me to break and deal with it. Deal with things in your house. Fear. Fear can reign in people's house. Fear reigned in his house. He was scared of his dad, so he couldn't do it. He couldn't have communication with his old man. He couldn't talk to him about it. Broken relationship. Yet he was a man. He wasn't a boy. He was a man. Gideon was a man. But he couldn't talk to his father man to man. So he had to do this at night. That tells me there's a problem. And we need to break them things and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own home. That he is the cornerstone and nothing is before him, even in my own house, regardless of who you are. And sometimes you might be persecuted in your own home. And Jesus tells me that. You can be persecuted in your mother against son and father against son and whatever. Persecution can start in your own home because you make a stand for Jesus. Can I hear something from you, please? Amen. It's the truth. And therefore, sometimes, just sometimes in life, when you stand for the truth, they mightn't accept it. I remember my mum had a battle with us as Christians. She'd say things like, "You don't have to go to church every week to believe." I said, "Well, you might, Mum, but I do." She goes, "Oh, we would like you to come out, you know, whatever." And really, it was a test. Because I knew she didn't really want me to come. She just was trying me not to go to church. And you've got to read it for what it is. Don't get me wrong. You've got to read it for what it is. Do you know, but at the end, she got wonderfully saved. She never asked me again to do anything untoward against what I believed. Did it strain my relationship? Yes. See, one of the things that had to break in my household was gossip. Me and my mum could have a 2 or 3 hour gossip conversation all by ourselves. You know, it says a woman, you know, man has 1,000 words or 1,500 words, a woman has 3,000. I could match my mum. We'd have a gossip session about anything or anyone. And she would be walking away all excited and happy that I was communicating with her. And then one day I said to Mum, "Mum, we've got to stop this." Why? What harm does it do? I says, a lot. When you pull down someone, you're sowing seed. Hear me. And what you sow, you shall. Gossip. Here's another one that I had to pull down in my house that was very, very, very strong. Prejudice was very strong in my home. I used to show Great Danes. I was 17. I had 2 Australian champions, and I would show them. They were worth a lot of money. A lot of money. When I was 8, my father moved us away from the street I was living in to another suburb because a West Indian family moved in the street. He had never met them. He had never spoke to them. Just because they were different. We moved house. Therefore, I grew up with this attitude towards people of a different colored skin. So when I used to show my Great Danes, now when you show a dog, the judge has to touch every part of the dog. Every part of the dog, if you get my meaning, every part. Every part to make sure it's a dog. It's not neutered. Right? If the judge was colored, I couldn't show my dog. It would growl. All of them would growl. All 3 of them would growl. Couldn't show them. Couldn't go near them. They would just arc. I had to see what country the judge was from before I could go to the dog show. Yet they don't understand English. They only understand sounds. They can't talk English. But they felt something. It was in my house. I had to break it. And God is so funny. Because my daughter's very best friend at school, the first friend she ever had, she'd come home from school and she'd say, "Dad, can I invite..." What was her name again? Little Mary or someone? Yeah, that was before that. I'll call her Mary. Mary. She goes, year one. "Can I bring Mary over? Can I bring Mary?" I said, "Yes, you can bring Mary over." She was Aboriginal. And yet, it was broken. That thing had already been broken. Yeah. So, and then God tested it in a lot of different ways. You will see proclivities in your home that you're bent towards that maybe they shouldn't be there. And you need to break them in your house before you can be effective in your kingdom. Amen? He was obedient, but still experienced some fears. But faith now exercised in his life. and his faith became greater than his fears. Walking by faith, he doesn't mean an absence of fear. So obedience activates your faith. I'll say that again. Obedience activates faith. The more the faith grows, the more you stand and defeat the works of the enemy. I'm going to finish on this. Judges 6:34 says this. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abysmites were called to follow him. God has placed a trumpet in your hand. What sound is it making? What sound is it making? God never allowed Gideon to see the size of the army that was against him. He just had to deal with a man that was in front of him. And that's all God requires of you. He'll do the rest as long as you stand by faith. Hear me. And have some fight within you to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. He wants to clothe us afresh. He wants to get us battle ready. And when we have troubles like Gideon, he wants us to get up in the strength and the valor that he's given us, which is because of what who resides within you. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm telling you now, the war's going to get hot. The battles are going to get more extreme. The standard's going to be lifted even higher. And the world is not just wanting to see the church confined. That kingdom of darkness wants to see the kingdom of light destroyed. And how he does it, he wants to destroy you. But greater is he that is in than he that is in the. But you've got to do your fighting. And I know that's not popular for Christians. Well, why can't God just deliver me? Well, sometimes he does. But most of the time, he'll make you fight the good fight of faith. So you lean on him and not on your own strength. Amen? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. You know, Gideon brought his best. He brought his goat. He brought his cakes. He brought the best to the rock. And the Lord honored that and allowed fire to come out of the rock, consume the sacrifice, which equipped him and empowered him. But we're no different to Gideon. We have our fights of fear, and we have our fights and doubts within and without. Some of us are in our hiding place. Some of us have had the fight knocked out of us. Some of us allowed fear to dominate our thinking and dominate the way I walk. But I want to decree and declare this morning here, right now, your God is more than able for you to get through what you need to get through. I'm going to say it again. Your God is more than able in you to get you through what you're going through. And having a strength and a faith. You know, the Lord minimized Gideon's army. He made it smaller. And he made it smaller for a reason. He doesn't want a crowd that just reacts and acts. He needs a people full of faith. Because it's the people that are full of faith that will change things. Amen? If you're here this morning, you're going through a battle. I'm going to prophesy over you this morning that the battle is his. And the victory is yours. You have to get up and stand by faith and blow the trumpet of the Lord. Blow it. Allow the vessel to be broken. Whatever he needs to do, let him do, that the light in you might shine forth to this world. And he will bring confusion to the ranks of your enemy. The Bible says that they turned against each other and they destroyed each other. While they were playing their trumpet on the hill, God was dealing with the enemy. Amen. Faith, not fear. Worship, not worry. Worship, not worry. If you need that touch this morning, say, God, help me. Change me. Allow faith to arise in me. Give me the boldness to step up and step out. Give me my boldness, Jesus. I need your strength. I need you to move on my behalf. And I'm going to bring you my best. If that's you this morning, you lift up your hands before the Lord. He wants to touch you afresh. He wants to clothe you with his Spirit. He wants to anoint you afresh. That victory is yours. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. We thank you, Lord. You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Forgive me, Father, from allowing me to run away from my battles. Forgive me this morning, my God, for allowing fear to try and dominate me. Lord, forgive me for letting the fight come out of me. I need the strength of your Spirit. Father, clothe me afresh in your Spirit this morning. Let that fire, Father, let that determination, oh God, be birthed afresh within me. And let my mind be renewed by the washing of the water of your word, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will be a hearer of your word. I shall walk as you design me to walk. And my house is blessed in the name of Jesus. Reveal to me, Father, what I need to deal with in my own home. Show me. Show me that it would leave a blessing in my house. And Father, equip me for your kingdom work in this hour. Thou wilt stand with trumpet in hand, with a light revealed in Jesus' name, for your kingdom's sake. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Now, I didn't say all that to scare you. I want to empower you and equip you. Amen. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings as part of our worship before the Lord this morning. Come with your best.